Global trends such as urbanization, digitalization, or changing economic patterns put increasing stress on the use and management of water resources. However, they may also come along with opportunities for increased water sustainability. Identifying and assessing the emerging challenges and opportunities is becoming ever more important in order to ensure water security and sustainable water systems in the future. The Trend Observatory on Water of the Swiss Agency for Development Cooperation, in short SDC, informs SDC's Water Network Réseau and all interested parties about important emerging trends and innovative approaches.
Hello and welcome to the podcast series of SDC's Trend Observatory on Water. I am your host, Annika Kramer. I am head of the water program at Adelphi, a Berlin-based think tank implementing the Trend Observatory for SDC. One of the ongoing trends that can be observed globally is that of an aging society, and several trend analyses look at how a so-called silver society will impact sustainable development in various regards. But still, 40% of the global population is actually under the age of 25. In sub-Saharan Africa, it is even 62%. In the least developed countries, the total number of youth aged 15 to 24 is expected to increase by more than 60% until 2050. And worldwide, we see these young people requesting more participation in decision-making. The Fridays for Future movement is just one example. In today's episode, we are therefore going to talk about the important role that youth can and should play in shaping our future water world, and how this can be promoted in development cooperation. For this discussion, we have invited Daniel Maselli. Daniel is a senior policy advisor on water at SDC, where he is in charge of a thematic water network called Réseau. Before, Daniel held a similar position within SDC's global program Climate Change and Environment. He has been a strong promoter of youth involvement in SDC's work over the past years.
Welcome, Daniel. Great to have you as our guest for the Trend Observatory podcast.
It's my pleasure.
Daniel, in today's podcast, we would want to put the role of youth at the center. Tell us, why do you think young people are so important in shaping the future of water?
First, the numbers you just presented, they speak for themselves. Children and youth are so numerous that they simply need to become an important stakeholder group when taking decisions about our future. And second, youth are often not yet perceived as an opportunity to walk the talk of sustainability. And I think that economic and political leaders mainly looked at youth as future labor force and consumers. And sometimes they even looked at them as a threat, looking at youth unemployment as a potential cause of political or even economic instability or civil unrest. But in my understanding, youth can and need to be perceived as an important positive force for a more sustainable, but also a more just development. I think they're eager to move fast, to try out new things and to be creative. Ultimately, they want to shape their own future, and they're more ready to change their behavior than we are. And that's why I believe in youth as an important agent for societal transformation.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for outlining this, the great opportunity that actually lies in involving young people more in promoting a sustainable transformation also in general. This year, you achieved an important step in making the voice of youth heard in the global water arena at the Ninth World Water Forum, which took place in Dakar in Senegal in March this year. Tell us more about it.
This forum was focusing on water security for peace and development. And it was also announced as the Forum of the Responses. And for the first time ever, the organizers had accepted to dedicate a space to youth. So we had the chance to repeat the successful experience we had made at the COP in Marrakesh in 2016, and this time, again, demonstrating the capability of Senegalese youth and architectural students to plan and to build such a space. Content-wise, many ideas to solve water issues were presented and discussed by youth. Young entrepreneurs from the water sector, we call them waterpreneurs, showed their solutions, innovative approaches and tools. The World Youth Parliament for Water also played an active role. And throughout the week, many ideas were exchanged on how to create a global youth movement for water. And this innovative initiative was then even mentioned at the official closure of the forum by the Senegalese authorities. So altogether, in my view, this was another milestone for the participation of youth in future important events and in decision-making processes.
Wow, a global youth movement for water indeed sounds like a great step in promoting the voice and role of youth in shaping our future water world. How did this idea of putting a focus on youth in SDC's global water program come about?
I think I can say that the initial idea of working with youth came in 2015. I was then working with SDC's global program on climate change and environment. And that year we decided not to get involved with the climate conference in Paris. We assumed that only few young people from the Global South would participate. So instead, I launched the so-called Youth Climate Dialogues. The idea was to connect high school classes from Switzerland and from Africa virtually through live sessions. And we wanted young Swiss people to better understand how global warming impacts youth in different African countries and vice versa. And there I still remember the emotions felt by a Swiss class from St. Gallen when they heard the testimony of a girl from Malawi. She told about a devastating flood that had swept away the cultivated land of her grandma in a rural area. Her income had so far paid for the schooling fees of the girl, and now this source of income was gone. So these youth climate dialogues were a real eye-opener, foremost for many Swiss learners, who realized that in Africa, climate change is not a concept anymore, but rather a heartfelt reality, which threatens the future of young people.
Yeah, thank you for presenting this example. Raising the awareness of youth about how climate change impacts the lives of young people around the world is indeed a very important first step, I think. But what else did you do to support that youth gets involved in the global climate discourse?
In 2016 at COP22 in Marrakesh, I proposed to the Moroccan government to create a dedicated youth space. And the authorities accepted and supported the idea. So we involved youth from the very beginning, and students from architectural schools participated in a competition. They developed the design, they elaborated the plans, and later they built and ran the whole youth space, which in fact turned out to be the busiest place of the whole conference at the end. And I think that this effort became a kind of turning point for youth to be integrated in such big events and not to be left behind. And then 2 years later, we tried an even more unconventional approach to raise the attention for the climate crisis and to point towards the important role of youth in addressing global warming. We made an attempt for a Guinness World Record on the Aletsch Glacier in Switzerland. And by exposing 125,000 postcards, there were messages and drawings from children and young people from all over the world. And this giant art piece had key messages visible from far, reading, for instance, "We are the future. Give us a chance." And it received an overwhelming attention from media around the globe. And only a few days later, we had five young ladies presenting this initiative at COP24 in Poland during the Future Generations Day. And this was just 1 week before Greta Thunberg appeared on the international scene at the same event. I think it was then that I had the impression that youth, as an important stakeholder group, had finally been noticed. I even had the hope that they would be taken more seriously by decision makers and no more left behind.
That's indeed a great success. So now you had youth spaces at the COP, the climate conference, and also at the World Water Forum. And it's great to see that youth is finally being heard at the global climate and water conferences. But is this having the impact that you actually wanted to see?
Of course, probably not, as my temper would always want to move faster. But this was a necessary and important step to raise the awareness. But much more is needed to transform our ways of living, and in particular, our production and consumption patterns, and foremost in the industrialized world.
What do you mean? Can you explain this a little bit further for our listeners?
Despite the powerful movement of Fridays for Future in the climate change discourse, our behavior still needs to change drastically. There's literally no time for talking anymore. It's time to act. And it's time to change our lifestyles, and in a quite fundamental manner, given the challenges that are fundamental as well. So I think that traditional stakeholders are moving far too slow. And we need now urgently concrete actions to help fix the global crisis. And as we can see and increasingly feel, our world suffers from a multitude of crises. We have security crises, health crises, climate crises, water crises, financial crises, biodiversity crises.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're definitely right here. And thinking about this multitude of crises may indeed be daunting. How do you think youth can still trigger change? What would you propose for youth to do?
I believe that youth can show us the way by taking concrete actions. They can do that within their own sphere of influence. And this is why SDC has launched the 1 million Youth Actions Challenge. This initiative wants to mobilize 1 million actions from youth that are aged 10 to 30. And through concrete actions that address four key sustainable development goals, we've selected water, number 6, 12 for responsible production and consumption, 13 for climate change, and also 15 called life on land, but it means biodiversity. And we have developed and proposed now a number of standard actions to which youth, as individuals or as groups, can subscribe for their implementation. These actions are contextualized. They depend on where and how young people live. I can give you two examples. As you probably know, buying new clothes, something people like to do here, young people, is associated to a high water footprint. We therefore have an action that promotes the swapping of clothes instead of always buying new ones, while closets are filled with items that are no longer wanted or don't fit anymore. And an example in the Global South, one standard action promotes the collection of rainwater, for instance, from roofs at schools. So then it can be used for sanitation, for watering school gardens, or the learners can plant tree seedlings that will give shade in the future.
That's a great approach. If many youth copy these very simple ideas that you just mentioned, this could indeed bring about change on the ground, in the school, for example, but I think also in people's behavior in more general. Beyond these concrete actions, what's your long-term vision regarding the role of youth in addressing all the crises that you just mentioned?
Ultimately, I would really love to see a global youth movement united to help implement all the sustainable development goals. They're meant to preserve a healthy living condition for all. This action-oriented movement, in my understanding, would demonstrate the clear determination and commitment of youth that is needed to trigger a global societal transformation, where the past and present state-of-the-art behavior becomes outdated and is replaced by innovative solutions that help transform all our societies. And this needs to go towards a more respectful, mindful, and fair management of vital resources, such as water also in particular.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that vision. It's, of course, a great vision to pursue. And I'm really looking forward to seeing more of these very special youth-oriented activities that you have implemented with SDC. Tell us now at the end a little bit what will be next. What are your plans for the near future?
Well, dreaming is nice, but turning dreams into reality is rather hard work. We will therefore undertake special efforts in mobilizing youth for this 1 million Youth Actions Challenge. And we will also follow up with the International Secretariat for Water and its wide network, the creation and the further expansion of this mentioned global youth movement for water. Since next year at the United Nations 2023 Water Conference, which is an important milestone, part of the Decade for Action on Water and Sanitation of the UN that lasts from 2018 to 2028, this conference will take place in New York. And we need to have youth ready to demonstrate their willingness and capability to act and thereby to put pressure on stakeholder groups in order that they follow the example of young people. And of course, I hope that many individuals and organizations will join us in this journey towards a world with decent living conditions for all future generations.
Thank you, Daniel. I wish you all the success with these activities and in further promoting the role of youth, not only in shaping the future of the water world, but we are particularly looking at, but also in putting sustainable development into action for the benefit of future generations in general. Thanks a lot for being with us today and for sharing your vision for the role of youth.
If you would like to learn more about the topic of today's podcast and other important trends for the water sector, check out our Trend Observatory on Water website. You will find the link in the description. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye.